إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned Musa alayhi salam in the Quran more than he mentioned any other Nabi. Musa alayhi salam is in 28 juz of the 30 juz of the Quran. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the Quran almost became the kitab of Musa. And the reason why Musa alayhi salam is mentioned and his people are mentioned is because they are the ummah just before us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned them many times to teach us lessons that we should learn and implement in our own lives. In Musa alayhi salam's story, if you look at it, when Musa alayhi salam was given nubuwwat, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Idhab ila Fir'aun, innahu taqa," go towards Fir'aun, and Fir'aun has rebelled. See the reaction of Musa alayhi salam. Now here is Musa alayhi salam, who has absolutely no resources, zero resources. He is lost in the desert, he doesn't even have fire. And the minimum is to have a matchstick, he doesn't even have that. So he has gone to find some fire so he gets some light for his family. And that's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the nubuwwat. Allama Iqbal rahmatullah has a beautiful share on this. If I am quoting it correctly, I think he said, Khuda ki den ka Musa se poochi ahwal. Khuda ki den ka Musa se poochi ahwal. Aur kya hai?
Aag lene ko
jaye. Haan, aag lene ko jaye aur nubuwat mil jaye. I think that's more or less what the share is. He said, if you want to ask about the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, ask Musa alayhi salam. He went to get some fire and he got nubuwat instead. So when he got this nubuwat and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, go to Fir'aun, here is Musa alayhi salam who is completely without resources. He probably knows Fir'aun and he knows the systems there probably better than anybody else because he grew up in that place. He grew up in the palace of Ramses the Fourth. So he knows the challenge, he understands it. Obviously, it is something which is very scary and he does not have the resources. But see the dua that he makes. And all of these duas of the Anbiya are wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, Rabbi shirahli sadri. He does not say, oh Allah, give me an army, give me wealth, and you know, give me power, and give me some magic and a lightning bolt in my hand. No, he says, Rabbi shirahli sadri. He starts with himself internally. He says, oh Allah, expand my heart. Expand my heart. Give me understanding. Give me courage. Whatever is the meaning of expansion of the heart, Shara Sadr, Allah knows best. But he says, Rabbi Shrahli Sadri, O my Rabb, expand my heart. Wayassir li amri, and make the command that you have given me, the job that you have given me, make it easy. Yes? Wayassir li amri. Wahalul uqdatan min lisani yabqaw qawli. And untie the knot in my tongue, so that people will understand what I say. I remember we used to go in Jamaat in the US, and one of the du'as, one of the shuyukh there used to make is to say, oh Allah, before my voice reaches the ears of the people, turn their hearts towards yourself. So don't even wait for me to say anything. So they are your slaves, turn their hearts towards yourself. So Musa alayhi salam here is saying, if you see the dua now, he is looking at himself and he is saying, oh Allah, expand my heart. Let me understand what I have to do, give me the courage and the aspiration to do this. And then make it easy. One of the issues that we have in the book called Built to Last, which I have been recommending in my last two or three Jumas, he talks about the secrets of great organizations. And among the things he says they have what he calls BHAG. That's his term for the expansion of that is big, hairy, audacious goals. Big, hairy, audacious goals. He says they didn't, these are companies who don't have small goals. They have huge goals. And Jack Welch, and GE is one of the companies which is studied in that book, and this was before, while Welch was still the CEO. So he has a big role in that book. Now, Welch describes this. He describes what he calls the extraordinary goal, which is the same thing as the BHAG. He says, it is something which scares the shit out of you and you have no clue how you will achieve it. Now, think about that. He says, it scares you, scares the living daylights out of you, and you have no clue how you will achieve it. Now, you might say, if I don't even know how I will achieve the goal, what's the point of having such a goal? But that is the paradox. That is the kind of goal that will drive you to achieve it. That is the kind of goal which will connect you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where you will really feel the need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our problem is not lack of goals. Our problem is we have small goals. We have goals which don't scare us. It is important to be terrified by the goal. Totally, completely, mind must go blank. Then you will do what it takes to have this goal. If you think about it, what's excitement? Excitement is fear that anticipates a happy ending. No, what is the difference between fear and or terror and excitement? Same thing, it's fear. Both are fear. But one anticipates a bad ending and the other one anticipates a good ending. The one which anticipates a good ending is excitement. And excitement keeps you alive. So big, hairy, audacious goals, not small goals. So Musa alayhi salam is given this goal, which is absolutely horrendous. I mean, you know, go and change Firaun. I mean, what kind of a thing is that? It's like saying, go and move this mountain. You know, how do you do that? Has he any idea how it is to be done? No clue. No idea. But that is what made Musa Musa alayhi salam. It was that goal. That was the goal. Allah did not say go to, you know, reach Egypt first, then we'll see. Relax for a while. No. Go change the man. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows he can't be changed. I mean, if you look at the qadar of this thing, Allah knows this. Allah knows who is Firaun. Allah knows he can't be changed. But the purpose there is not to change Firaun. The purpose is to change Musa alayhi salam. The purpose is to establish his Nabi and to bring the Bani Israel out of there and to change the whole fate of Bani Israel. It's not about Firaun. If Allah wanted to destroy Firaun, why does he need Musa? Why does he need anybody? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can... Firaun is mortal, you know, he drops dead, he has a massive heart attack, that's the end of the story. Finish, khalas. You don't need to do anything. But that was not the purpose. The purpose is to change. Therefore, the purpose of the goal, if you look at it from this perspective, the purpose of the goal is not even to achieve the goal. The purpose of the goal is to change yourself. So the one who decides to climb Mount Everest has nothing to do with Everest. It is about himself. In order to scale the peak, what do I need to do to myself? If I just go and stand at the base camp and say, I want to climb the mountain, it's not going to happen. No way. But if I really want to climb the mountain, then it means that I have to then spend the next 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, Allah knows how many years, in training myself. In physical fitness, in endurance, in building strength, in planning, and so on and so on and so on, which will make me capable of climbing the mountain. Now, whether or not I reach the peak, I have transformed. I am a new person. I am a new human being because I am a better human being than I was
thanks to this mountain. Even if I never reach the peak of the mountain, it makes no difference. I have converted and completely changed myself. That is the joy and the challenge of the big goal. That you will not get that from a ordinary small goal. I must make so much money, that is nothing. I mean, you make money, after that what do you do? How much money do you want to have? How many cars do you want to have? How much food do you want to eat? I mean, everything is limited, it's only that much. Even if I have 10,000 cars sitting here, somebody sent me a picture of, you know, Sultan of Brunei, and he is passionate about cars. So I'm thinking to myself, somebody who's passionate about cars, there's a friend of mine called Irfan Mahmood. Now, Irfan is passionate about cars. And he's always been passionate about cars. My image of Irfan, when I think about Irfan, my image of Irfan is two legs sticking out from under a car. Because that's the position that I have seen Irfan the most. He's under a car, he's tinkering with it. And all I can see is two legs sticking out. And I still remember his mother yelling at him, and I get yelled in the process because, you know, both of us were like brothers. Yelling at him because Irfan will wear clothes like Mahmud Bhai is wearing, you know, beautiful white kurta, white pajama, and then he's under a car. So what do you think will happen to that? That is passion, not collecting cars. Collecting car is a 4-year-old brain, you know, that's toys. So, dinky cars cost $1 each or something, whatever they cost. And Ferraris cost $1 million, so what's the big deal? I mean, the same thing. Passion means what? Passion means you are totally invited. Irfan has been passionate about cars all his life, and today he's got a very good business in transforming cars, repairing cars in California, is doing wonderfully well because of this passion. Truly passionate means that you are going to spend your life inside that place. So I'm thinking that if somebody says so-and-so is passionate about cars, I'm going to find him under the car. I'm going to find him inside the engine. I'm going to find him, you know, covered in lube oil or something because he's passionate about cars. I've been passionate about horses and about horse riding, and my entire childhood, which was spent here in Hyderabad, throughout my school and college, my day would begin in the stable of the horse, in the AP Riding Club. I would muck out the stables, groom the horses. My first deep breath in the morning was full of horse shit. But that's the meaning of being passionate about horses. That's how you learn to ride. So the whole issue of creating excitement in your life and of achieving great things is to fix a goal which scares the daylights out of you, and you have no clue how you are going to get it. And then you move towards it. And as I said, whether or not you climb Mount Everest, Everest will change you. Whether or not you achieve that goal, the goal will change you. Even if you don't achieve the goal, because the point is not a question of failure. There's no failure in what? Some goals by nature are long term. If you take Musa alayhi salam, did he actually change Firaun? Did Firaun accept Islam? No, he didn't accept Islam. So what do we say? Musa alayhi salam's life was a failure? No. Did Musa alayhi salam's people actually reach the promised land? They did not, because they refused to do the last part. Allah said, go fight for it. They said, no, we are not going to do that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed for them to spend 40 years in the wasteland, wandering around, even though Musa alayhi salam was with them. Musa alayhi salam himself never saw Jerusalem. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Musa alayhi salam, when Malakul Maut came for him, Musa alayhi salam said to him, at least let me see Jerusalem. I have not seen Al-Quds. And he said, Malakul Maut took him to the wall of Jerusalem. He saw Jerusalem, and then his soul was taken there. And Musa alayhi salam is buried near the wall of Jerusalem. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I passed by his grave. when I was going on Isra wal Mi'raj and he was doing salah, he was making salah in his grave. And this is the izzah of the Anbiya alayhimus salam, who will have this. It's not for people like us. For Anbiya alayhimus salam, they will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also in their qubur. The goal will change you. And that is the purpose of the goal. The real purpose of the goal is to change you. It's not just to achieve that goal. And that's why whenever I do my workshops, leadership workshops, I tell people, I said, money is the worst of motivators. Money can't motivate you. It's not possible. You say, I must make 100 million, I must make a billion, I must make 100 billion. As they say, the first million is tough. From 1 million to 100 million is easier. And from 100 million to a billion is inevitable. So he says, you don't have to work for it also. It will come by itself. It's the worst of the motivation. It satisfies you too easily. The purpose of the goal is to keep you excited, is to keep you motivated. And that happens only if the goal is big enough. And the sign of a big goal is, does it scare you to death? I don't think we are short of such goals. We have plenty. The thing is to pick and then make ruju' ila Allah. And then fall in sujood before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Ya Allah, this is the goal you put in my heart. Let me work for it. Give this to me. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jala jalalu to give us the hausla, the aspiration, the courage to take on goals which scare us, because that is what will change the world. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب العالمين.